Hi, good morning. My name is Josh, and I am an alcoholic. It's a true privilege to be here with you this morning in Atlanta to celebrate the fellowship that changed my life and discuss our use of the Internet and applying our traditions. I am a member of the Basics Group in Durham, North Carolina, Area 51. Go Aliens. And I currently serve you as an appointed committee member to the Trustees Public Information Committee. That said, I do not speak for Alcoholics Anonymous, the General Service Board, either of its corporations, the PI Committee, my home group, my wife, or anybody else today. I'm truly just another bozo on the bus who is immensely grateful for his seat. On the morning of July 7th, 2006, I called my boss for the second time in 2 months to tell her I wouldn't be at work that day because I'd been arrested again the night before. And I was still in the process of coming to. I expressed my rather shallow regret, and I told her I thought I had a problem, and I was going to seek help. My epiphany was motivated by fear. I believed at the time that if I said that, she couldn't fire me. I don't even know if that was true. But in an effort to create a paper trail for my HR department, I got right to work after we hung up. I took to Google. I searched drinking problem and alcoholism, alcoholic and treatment centers. I skimmed pages of information on multiple sites whose names I don't remember. And then I searched Alcoholics Anonymous, Durham, North Carolina. I clicked the first link at the top that wasn't a paid advertisement, and it took me to the oddly named AANC32.org. This website told me there were meetings for people with a drinking problem every night all over the city. The next one was at Saturday at 8 p.m. at a Methodist church 5 minutes from my house. I went to that meeting. I got a white chip. I got a sponsor. And as a result of working the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous to the best of my ability, I haven't had the need to take a drink of alcohol or any other mind-altering substance from that day to this morning. So I would like to do the unthinkable at an AA meeting and ask you to take out your phones. You can leave it on vibrate, but if you turned it off, please turn it back on. Doesn't matter. I'd like you to search Alcoholics Anonymous in your hometown, city, and state. Please search Alcoholics Anonymous in your hometown, city, and state. If you're from another country, use the appropriate province or region, but if you're in the United States, just use your city and state. If the first three unpaid links aren't your local intergroup or district, your area, or AA.org, you have a communications problem at the local group level. If your local links do show up, but once clicked, those sites don't work well on your phone, you have a communications problem at the local level. If the websites in your area aren't working together and cooperating in carrying the message, you have a communications problem at the local level. If all the websites we build across North America for our service structure or various intergroups and the many other large collections of alcoholics like ICIPAR, the online intergroup of AA, don't start to cooperate with one another better, we have a communications problem that directly affects AA as a whole. Our websites are the most direct connection we have to the world around us. While Tradition 4 gives us all autonomy to do what we think is best for AA as groups and individuals, it also suggests we check in with our neighbors and the bottom of the service triangle should what we're doing affect those around us or AA as a whole. I cannot think of anything that could more directly affect AA as a whole than websites that carry our message and can be searched and used nationally and internationally. Unity through Traditions 1 and 2 and the cooperation of Tradition 6 are key to the fulfillment of Tradition 5 and carrying our message of hope to our future and to our future growth as a network of websites that carry the message out into the digital world. We have the potential to be our own social network. At the General Service Conference in 1960, Bill Wilson said, quote, "How are we going to reach the people in this procession? How are we going to make them want to approach us? This is our single greatest problem. How can we walk into this stream and draw more out of it? This means bigger and better public relations. It means a vast increase in the number of friends of this society in all media of communication." End quote. Tradition 5, our primary purpose to carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous to those still suffering has and will always require outward communication. It is our responsibility to reach outward to that procession of drunks that Bill described, wherever they may be, so that all who might want AA can find what we have to offer. Our traditions grew out of the need for guiding principles in how to carry the message outward, not as a means to inhibit or restrict communication. We are not a secret society. It is our responsibility to carry a clear, unified, and attractive message out into all communities. And those communities are changing in both form and function, while in parallel, modern communication continues to rapidly evolve. The Internet of today works through sharing. Fortunately, so does Alcoholics Anonymous. Having a website that is not reaching out to other websites and the varieties of layers of the Internet, however, is like having a home group that is on the meeting list but doesn't participate in local services outside of their meeting. While such groups are still helping the alcoholic who happens to find them, they are missing out on the opportunity for growth offered by outreach into their community. Likewise, through effective searching, it's possible for people to find AA. However, we are not really carrying the message outward to the best of our potential. If we were to make the content on our website shareable, we would allow the fellowship and our non-alcoholic friends easy access to a conference-approved message that can be put to good use through their personal social networks. This would function in a way similar to how members carry the message out of their home groups and into their immediate community through service work and 12-step calls. Shareable website content allows for the application of the same principles of tradition that guide our fellowship in all our communication with the public. I do not believe that likes, shares, follows, thumbs ups, and other variety of ways one can express that they support something with the click of a button constitute a violation of Tradition 11 or 12. I think that point of view ignores the fact that there are hundreds of thousands of friends and supporters of Alcoholics Anonymous who do not share our disease, but do share our concern for the problem that is alcoholism and the benefits of the program and the 12 steps as a solution to that problem. These people are our friends and family. They are the doctors, professionals, and coworkers who have seen what AA has done for us. They are members of Al-Anon and other 12-step fellowships. They are other complete strangers who might support our cause if introduced to it. Another rather anonymous organization, the CIA, launched a Twitter account June 6, 2014, with the simple and amusing statement, quote, "We can neither confirm nor deny that this is our first tweet," end quote. I do not believe the 820,000 followers of @CIA are covert members of the Central Intelligence Agency, or even employees for that matter. They are just people with an interest in the CIA who are curious what they have to say via Twitter. Imagine if our office and our grapevine were to send out updates and information and entertaining content to the world around us. What an opportunity for information and attraction. Imagine if that message was amplified by the 60,000 people in attendance at the big meeting last night, the same way our unified voices amplified the Serenity Prayer. And what if that was amplified by the circles of non-alcoholics who support each of us, or even the millions of alcoholics and friends of our fellowship around the world? Page 102 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous reads, quote, "Your job is now to be at the place where you can be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere you can be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spot on earth on such an errand." End quote. In my experience, many of our fellowships still view social media and social networks as the most sordid spots on earth. There are a multitude of fears, both rational and irrational, that we need to work through as a fellowship to grow in modern communication in such a way as to be available and of use to that procession of drunks that is all around us and growing up right now alongside all of our children. Those children in that procession are growing up online, connected through screens and the world's information at their fingertips and in their pockets. The task to create specific guidelines on how to participate in social media and content sharing on the internet within the loving guidelines of our traditions is an attainable goal. Our application of the principles of non-affiliation, non-controversial opinions, and personal anonymity in broadcast mediums and published forms is functionally attainable. The challenge is that modern communication turns up the level of personal responsibility to an immense degree, and the root of that challenge for me is one of Tradition 12, motive, and humility. In his 1948 Grapevine article on Tradition 11, Bill Wilson wrote, quote, "The future poses no greater problem or challenge to AA than how to best preserve a friendly and vital relation to the world about us. Success will rest heavily upon right principles, a wise vigilance, and the deepest personal responsibility on the part of every one of us." End quote. While I believe there is a sizable learning curve in how we can better apply our traditions as individuals online, if, as a fellowship, we do not experiment with social media sharing and other digital forms of community and communication, we will fail to grow an understanding and usefulness in those mediums. And those mediums are rapidly becoming the primary form of communication for alcoholics younger than age 35. And perhaps more importantly, all future alcoholics just learning to read. The traditions and our policies and principles around how we carry the message in the physical world have been rooted in exploration, trial and error. We have learned from mistakes, both big and small, how to carry the message in our direct physical communities. In order to gain useful experience in how to best uphold and protect our principles and traditions in online communities, we need to make our conference-approved message more accessible to those communities. We need to offer it in a way that they can see it and hear it and share it, while trusting in the fellowship to figure out how to best use those tools in accordance with our traditions. As in our past, this should generate the needed experience, both good and bad, that we can collect, grow from, and use to reflect back in an ongoing guideline on how to use new media as opposed to whether or not we should. Alcoholics are already using new media and will continue to do so. Why not publish our wealth of information in a way that they can easily carry it to any sordid space they see fit? While we do not debate outside points of view, I believe that a core responsibility of carrying the message of Alcoholics Anonymous is to make sure that it's available alongside the multitude of opinions from both friends and detractors out in the world. It is my belief that when our message sits side by side with others, it will eventually stand out and attract, because that was my direct experience in recovery. Where all else had failed, AA succeeded for me. And I found Alcoholics Anonymous, my sobriety, and this wonderful new life through a Google search. My daughter, or one of her four-year-old friends, will undoubtedly find it on Twitter or Snapchat, Instagram or YouTube, a Google Hangout, a private chat room, or whatever the next application is 10 years from now, where collections of people congregate online and share experience, strength, and hope alongside the occasional bad joke. As in the 1930s, when we decided to use the widest reaching medium of that time to publish a book and spread the AA message as far as it might reach, some leaps of faith will be needed, as well as a belief that in AA, we strive to exercise our autonomy with good intention, right motives, and humility. I have a deep faith in all of us that the same care, respect, and attention that we put into practicing unity and restraint, attraction and non-affiliation, openness, anonymity, and all of our traditions in our social circles in the physical world can and will be applied in our social circles in the digital world as we move forward on this road of happy destiny. I thank you very much for my seat in this fellowship that I love, and I thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Josh. All right, and now if everyone could just double check your cell phones one more time, make sure they're shut off. All right. And now we will have Keith D. from Texas.
Hi, everybody. My name is Keith Davis, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is September the 4th of 2002, and I'm glad to be here. I am a member of the Principals Group of Dallas, Texas, and I appreciate a lot of friends in this room. I appreciate some of you. I know some of you came because you're interested in this topic. Some of you came because you don't know what room you're in. Some of you came because you love me and care about me and are here to support me, and I appreciate no matter why you're here. I want to thank being asked to do this. It seems to me that, I figured this would kind of be how it goes, that the people that get asked to do this are the ones that they believe will be willing to step up and say what they really think is important about how we carry our message. And Joss certainly did a great job at that. I really appreciate that. I'm currently serving as the alternate delegate for Northeast Texas, Area 65, Panel 65. I've had the opportunity over the last 12 years of sobriety to do a lot of work in Alcoholics Anonymous around technology. I do it for a living. One of my many, there's a guy yelled in the back who knows about my 37 sobriety dates or however many I've got before I got this one, which I hope is the last, and so do a lot of other people. But the fact is that in one of those periods of sobriety, and I can't tell you which one it was, I remember I was sitting out in front of an area assembly helping with registration or something, and a guy who was going to be our delegate, who is now a past delegate, is over in the luncheon here at 12 o'clock, and I were sitting there. He was trying to sponsor me at the time, and I was not very sponsorable, so I don't blame him a bit. But the fact is that, I remember having this conversation with him about at the time, about how, I was wishing that somehow or another I could do, use my technical skills to help Alcoholics Anonymous. What I was really saying is I don't really want to talk to you. I don't really want to be a part of your lives. I don't want to help you at all. I like being on a computer. That's what I like to do. And if I could just do that and somehow stay sober, that would be preferable to me. I don't know if I said it that succinctly, but that's what I was thinking and feeling at the time. Well, I did not stay sober that time, or the time after that, or the time after that. But eventually, one day, I got desperate enough to follow directions. And I got a sponsor who was not interested in how I thought or felt about Alcoholics Anonymous or what kind of 12-step work I should do. He told me what he expected me to do. He gave me, no uncertain terms, a list of criteria he expected me to follow if I wanted him to sponsor me. And he told me, if you don't do those things, you can go find another sponsor. And I was desperate enough to do what he asked me to do. And so after a few years of following that direction, my life truly rocketed into the fourth dimension of existence. And I went from being a guy who was, just really had destroyed my life many times over, and the lives of people around me had hurt terribly so many times, to a guy I found myself extremely useful. Sometimes I feel like too useful. It's like my phone rings off the hook, and I am asked to do a lot of really neat stuff. But part of that, and this is just one part of it. I don't believe for a second that I would be standing up here if I had simply gotten sober, you know, even maybe gotten kind of active in my home group and been busy around AA a little bit, and happened to also, you know, my career took off. I'm currently the IT director for a healthcare company and a software developer, and I love what I do, and I'm good at it, and it's just for me, it's obviously what I was designed for when it comes to a career. I have no illusion I would be up here if that's the only criteria, the only thing I brought to the table. In fact, to me today, the most important thing I bring to the table, I believe, in my life, is that I am a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous who practices the 12 steps as a way of life and has been given the ability to carry that message to other alcoholics and help them get and stay sober. And today I sponsor men in the same way that I was sponsored. If they don't do what I ask them to do, they can go find another sponsor. And because of that, somebody made a joke about all the people here today that know me, you know, that because I was the alternate delegate. Yeah, I'm sure I've met a lot more people since I have been, but I can tell you my life today is unbelievably full. I probably know 1,000 people at this conference well. I'm not talking about in passing. People that I've heard their stories, they've heard mine. We've done 12-step calls or other 12-step work together. We've been on committees and conferences. We do a lot of work together. And so today, for me to be up here and talk about the evil internet, right? You know, does anybody in the room actually still think the internet is evil? I don't really hear anybody say anything along the lines today that really makes me think they really believe that. But I certainly still see it come out in our actions at times. The fear based in the idea of what we don't understand, which is really what it's all about. It's just we just don't know. I can't tell you how many. If I'm on a committee, you can almost guarantee I'm going to be the webmaster in some technical support capacity. I may be doing other things, but that's generally what I'm going to be. They invite me. I got asked to be on a board of a convention a couple years ago, one I love dearly. I've been going every year since I got sober. And what is the first thing they ask me to do? Will you take over our website? Of course I will. But you know, and it's not because I'm necessarily better than the other people who can do this kind of, it's just there's just not a lot of people who are so overtly or so willing to step up and say, I know how to do this and I'm willing to, when it comes to technical capabilities and how we use them with Alcoholics Anonymous. And on top of that, like I said, for me, that's secondary, really, because I've been given a gift, and I try to share it. One thing about this topic, anytime we're talking about the traditions, you know, and I think that, and I went to the topic, the meeting before this one, it was called AA and the Internet Carrying the Message, and it's really the same topic, right? There's only one topic, really, carrying the message. You know, if we're carrying the message, we better be adhering to the traditions how we do that. But one of the things that comes up whenever I think about topics like this is how it automatically, we almost automatically go to the defensive. How are we going to stop people from breaking the traditions? The traditions were not designed to protect. They were not designed to protect me from you. They were designed to protect you from me, and me from my own ego. They're not Advanced Alcoholics Anonymous either. There is no advanced AA. We are taught the traditions from the very beginning. We are taught that our common welfare must come first. The fact that I even understand there is an our common welfare means that I have taken a step or two. I mean, it's just not possible when I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous to have, there was my welfare, right? And y'all. And y'all's welfare was only relevant to me and how it affected my welfare. The book says it has to become the inverse. Your welfare has to come before my welfare. In fact, I don't believe that there is, and still in some aspects, I understand our common welfare as much as I understand. I just got to try to put your needs ahead of mine. And if I do that, there seems to be an our common welfare naturally. You know, one of the things that we tend to do at times in Alcoholics Anonymous is we act on fear and we call it prudence. We talk about moving slowly in AA, and I believe we should. I absolutely believe it. I'm a nerd. I'm a geek from the highest order. I mean, I would be the first guy to have a cell phone implanted in my head as soon as they offer it. I think in numbers, I think. There's some part of my brain that just, works well like that. But just because, I understand it and I enjoy it and I think it's useful, the internet, the ability to use digital technology to communicate, text messaging, all of that, I still believe, because I had a sponsor from the beginning that, he instilled in me this idea that really the best way I can explain it is when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought I hated the entire human race. I just thought I couldn't stand any of you. I had just gotten sick of it. The last few people, my last two friends on my list, I was done with them. I'm just tired of them. They were probably done with me too, but I didn't really pay any attention to that. I rarely did. But the fact is that I know today that it wasn't you that I hated. It was the way I felt when I was around you. It's the way I felt when I was around you. And the steps and sponsorship have changed that. My feeling today is when I feel uncomfortable, I know to do the inverse of my feeling. When I feel uncomfortable around you, to sit in my chair and not talk to you doesn't make it better. It makes it worse. Get out of my chair and go talk to the guy in the room who looks so angry nobody wants to talk to him. Or looks lost, like, where am I? What are we doing in here? That helps me. If I'm in your house and I'm uncomfortable, you might find me washing your dishes or something. I finally understood that helping you helps me. That's the way this deal works. So what drives us to use the internet as a medium in AA? There's a lot of good reasons. Speed, for one thing. The instantaneous messaging. I don't mean just text messaging, but just the ability to communicate with a lot of people very quickly. The cost, obviously. There are a lot of arguments there. In my area, it's still an exorbitant cost. Four times a year for a mailed-out newsletter. And as those postal costs continue to go up, it becomes difficult to justify. Is it really, we're mailing to every single AA group in the Northeast Texas area. That's 550 registered AA groups, roughly. How many of those actually read that? Really? I mean, not many, I'm sure. The fact is that the cost alone certainly is justification. But there's reasons why we don't. We know that we would not be able to communicate with some of those groups without it. Just the increased ability to reach more people. I was thinking about it last night. I was communicating with some people about some of the stuff going on here. I could pick up the phone and call and talk to various people about my experience here, one at a time, and might get through a few. Or I could send them a couple of pictures, anonymity protected, of people, of what's going on here. I could send them messages, what I'm experiencing, to a dozen or 50. Accessibility. And there's a lot of talk about that in our area right now, about the use of technology, the internet especially, for accessibility. There's a guy in our area who's blind, who I really didn't know anything about. And he's been to our assemblies. He's been pretty active over the years, but I really don't know the guy. I'm no different than anybody else. I find my own fear and ego gets in the way of my ability to interact with people that have those kind of difficulties, accessibility issues. But he's on Facebook now. I think I know him better now than I ever did. He communicates well with us. There's a lot of other reasons why we are motivated to use technology. Desire to find a mate, for example. That's a big one. Lois was showing me this app that came through her Facebook feed this weekend. It came from mine, too. You might have seen this. If you've been on Facebook, it's called, what's it called, Sober Grid?
Yeah.
Sober Grid. Just popped up as an advertisement. So they obviously know something about my life and what I'm doing here. it didn't say specifically, this is an app designed so that you can meet somebody to, go out with or something. In fact, I had no idea what it was about, to be honest with you. I opened it and I installed the app. Not because I'm interested in the app. In fact, my first thought when I see that is, oh, that's so creepy. I don't really think I want to have anything to do with it. But I also know that I'm giving a talk here today, and it's more information. It's useful. And if anybody's going to look at that, it should be somebody who's technically capable enough to see the sort of the ins and outs of how it might work, what might be the pitfalls there with an application like that. So I installed it. And I looked at it. And I think that the intent of the application, it seems to me, is just sort of bring people who are sober together. Not obviously not just an AA, sober together. It seems to be reasonably well geared towards protecting anonymity, allowing people the flexibility to be anonymous or not, that kind of thing. But in the end result of it, after just a few hours on it, I almost instantly start to think, this is just another dating app. Some of the other reasons that drive us to use the internet as a medium aren't even as necessarily as good as that. And one of the things that really drives me, even a person like me who is so geared towards using technology on a I'd say daily, but that's way over. I mean, like minute by minute basis, it seems like is but I when I work with the guys I sponsor, it's so important to me that they talk to me, that I see them eyeball to eyeball. But so we tend to, at times, want to use the internet as a medium to avoid personal contact. Why? It's obvious, right? Because we're selfish, self-centered, ego-driven, fearful. Because guys like me, when I got sober, I felt uncomfortable around you. And if the internet had been as accessible as it is now when I got sober, it certainly had started taking off, but I didn't feel as easy to access then. Probably would have had some conversations with my sponsor then about not talking to him through Facebook or not talking to him through text message. But we didn't really have to have those. But today, I do have those conversations with the guys I sponsor about text messaging. They're allowed to text message me, you know, news, weather, and sports, information. I'm going to be there in 5 minutes. Not, hey, I can't make the meeting because I'm going to a basketball game. No, no, no. You want to have that conversation with me? You call me. You see me face to face. I want you to look at me in the eyeballs, at least hear the inflection of your voice when you're telling me you're doing something other than what you said you were going to do. It doesn't mean I can stop you. Really, the more important thing is whether or not I'll stop yourself. Easier to act on character defects. Someone was talking about that earlier today or yesterday about how whenever there's a topic of resentment comes up, that especially young people, like one of the things they almost invariably mention is Facebook. How quickly we see people go off, get angry, say things that they regret. It's easier, right? Because I don't see your reaction when I say that hurtful thing to you. You can't punch me in the face when I call you that name. Immediately, you might seek me out. But to me, that's really no different than what we do in the rooms. It seems that way. Because, again, we don't know how it works. But I'll tell you, one of the things that has occurred for me, especially in the last, I don't know, year, maybe 6 months, is watching our digital life become more integrated with our real personal life. Where it becomes less of something we do on the side and more of how we communicate primarily. As that happens, I can see people start to take on more responsibility for their actions when they're using the internet as a medium. It becomes more important to them how they act that way. It certainly has for me. Does it really matter why we use it? You know, as Josh talked about the book, you know, when it was written, you know, that form of communication, I'm sure there were lots of discussions. I mean, I know some of them, but there were probably many more than I've heard about, you know, the concern about, you know, what if someone just has the book? You know, what if that's all they've got? You know, today we had that same discussion. And the thing is that the book was not written with the best of intentions, as we would see them today, right? It's written to make money, to pay for missionaries and hospitals. We all know how well that went, right? They sold like two on the first day. Barely. I don't even know if they actually even sold those two, but they got two orders or something. So the thing is that, does it matter why? The fact is that we are going to use it. You can hold out if you want. If you're one of those holdouts in the room, that's fine. Nobody's in AA just like he's going to make you do anything differently. We don't even want to. But the fact is today that I heard a very interesting talk at SWRDA. We do this thing in the Southwest Region, Southwest Regional Delegates Assembly. And I don't know if she's in the room or not, so I hope not, because I may completely misquote how she described it. But she gave this really interesting discussion where she talked about when she got sober, all she had was a home phone, and her husband bought her a cell phone. And she told all of the women that she sponsored, do not call me on my cell phone. It is only for emergencies. If you call me on my cell phone, you will not get me. I will not return the phone call. So today, where she has a home phone, but she tells all the women she sponsors, never call me on my home phone. If you call me on my home phone, you will never get me. I will not return the call. You call me on my cell phone. You know, one of the things I was thinking about, you know, it's like even just like the description I gave a minute ago about the, you know, working with the guys I sponsor, about them not text messaging me, because I need to hear their voice. And you think, well, for me, it's like, so what's next? What, you know, I'm sure when people started using the phone more to try to communicate, there were conversations like that. Do not call me on the phone. You need to show up at my house and we'll have a conversation, right? And now, how would I have gotten sober without a cell phone? I'd lived on that talking to alcoholics. What about the next step? You think there's not a next step past text messaging? What about when we have biotechnology which allows us to communicate to, you know, directly? That's kind of a scary thought. Hopefully there's some kind of filter built in. You can like, oh my God. When I have that conversation with the guy that sponsored, do not think at me. Text message me. You know, for me, you know, and I've got a lot of notes here on this stuff. I mean, because it really gets my brain working on this topic, you know, being up here. And I'm glad for the opportunity. I am honored to participate in Alcoholics Anonymous. Pretty much any time I'm asked, I feel that way. It's really an amazing thing. One of the things I really try not to do is try to get get set in stone about this is the direction we need to go. I don't know really where we need to go. I do know that I have some idea where we don't need to go. Let's put it that way. And that's the idea that we shouldn't be using it, or we should be afraid to use it, or we need to be protective of how other people are using it. I'm not saying, you know, and Josh talked about it, and I agree. I think there are lots of opportunities for us to share experience on how to use it and practice the traditions, practice the principles in all our affairs. But I also think that there are lots of room for mistakes. That, you know, one of the last thing I'll say is that, you know, in Bill's writing in Step 10, he mentions the restraint of pen and tongue. And I was thinking about that. Pen and tongue. Pen being first. He lists it first for some interesting reason. And the fact that he mentions that at all during a period when, you know, the pen that we would be so worried about today, like an email, which is instant, was a letter. You know, write you a terrible message and send it to you, you know. Have enough time, by the time it gets to your house, I'm in front of it telling you, wait, I didn't really mean to say that, you know. But Bill was a visionary. He wrote lots and lots about communication, right? Language of the Heart is a great book. I love his writings in there. And he writes lots and lots about communication. And what he writes in there is we should use it. That's what he writes. Very rarely do you hear Bill ever talk about how we should be cautious. He will, but he really focuses on how we should use it. And I think that's what Josh said. I really agree with that. I think that's what where we need to turn the ship towards, away from, oh no, what's going to happen, to we should use it to reach each other better. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. And last but certainly not least, we have Lois from Missouri.
Hi, I'm Lois. I'm an alcoholic. It's funny. I feel like I'm giving an AA talk, but I want to qualify myself in a different way, I think, to tell you like why I'm up here, you know, a little bit different. So a little bit about, I think, why I'm here. So I identify a lot with Bill's story. You know, I think a lot of us, when we come in, we're either we're Bobs or we're Bills. You know, so I'm a Bill. Okay, I'm a Bill, and I'm a big dreamer. I'm a big idea girl. I'm the promoter. I'm the one that people worry about. I'm a technology enthusiast. I like new gadgets. I like futuristic stories. That's what I like. And so I bring that kind of to this topic today. I mean, that's what you're getting. You're getting the Bill. And I also bring my professional background and my AA service background. Professionally, I've worked in graphic and web design early in my career, and more recently I've worked in workforce collaboration, which is all about getting like large groups of people to coordinate using technology, and human-centered design, which is all about making things, systems, people, technology, designed for the people who use it. Okay, so that's what I sort of bring to the table professionally. As a result of that professional experience, I actually got sober before the internet was mainstream. So AOL came out the year I got sober in 1989. And, you know, because of my professional experience, I got involved early in a lot of AA technology. I was part of the team that developed my first area website. I'm in the eastern area of Missouri, Area 38 from St. Louis, and I helped develop my intergroup's first website, just because of my background. And it's funny because these guys, well, at least Keith will tell you, you know, they don't think of me as a technologist, right? But because I sort of worked in that field, I got involved in that. So I bring that to the table, too. I bring a history of working on technology for a long time in AA, and being part of the early angst over just even talking about it before we talk about it and how we talk about it. Right, before we ever did anything, that came to the table, and we moved really slow and cautious. You know, early on, we were very concerned about traditions. Most recently, you know, I attended the National AA Technology Workshop, which was held in St. Louis last year in my town, and it was exciting for me to be a part of that workshop. I will tell you, when I first came to AA, I stayed, and I'm not sure why, and I've decided that it was some form of species recognition. You know, it takes one to know one. It certainly wasn't like searching in fearless moral inventory or making amends to the people I've harmed. But there was something about the species. I recognized my kind in you guys. And when I attended this National AA Technology Workshop, that was like doubling it, because it was my kind and my kind. And it was very exciting to me. So I'm telling you all of that to sort of qualify, you know, where I'm coming from with this topic today. And I think I may have even taken it more literally than the other two speakers. So that's kind of good. And I'll tell you that I had some resistance to the topic. So it was it's AA and the internet, adherence to traditions. And for me, I think. And it's not a resistance to talking. It's funny. So I there's a guy in this room, and we were just getting to know each other, right, over the internet. And I explained to him, you know, well, you know, I prefer to do the work instead of talking about the work. And he said, Lois, I think you like to talk about the work too. So it's not that I have a problem with talking. It was really that word adherence that sort of bothered me. It felt like. You know, even today, we're not, the definition, let me read it to you so I can be specific. The definition of adherence is really the act of doing what is required by rule or belief. And like most of you, or I won't speak for you, I'll tell you, for myself, I don't like rules. Still, rules get me nervous. And I think I got the sense that, you know, and again, I'm trying to really, okay, this is what they want me to talk about, so I'm trying to talk about what they want me to talk about. And I got the sense that I was going to have to talk about how the internet could harm AA. You know, a lot of what Josh and Keith were talking about, a lot of the fear and a lot that I, you know, the resistance to change, I think, that I've encountered through my sobriety and I've encountered this whole time I've been trying to share my enthusiasm for the internet, because I love the internet. I mean, I love it. And I love it because of what it enables me to do. So I'm like Josh, I don't think in bits and bytes. I think of how it makes me bigger, better. I can do more things faster. And that's what I like about it. You know, my favorite superhero is Batman. And I like Batman because Batman does not have any special powers of himself, but Batman has gear. He's got the bat car. He's got, you know, the batarang, you know, and so that's why I like technology. And so, you know, I love it. I love what it enables me to do. Now, I love AA more. And so in trying to figure out, like, how do I talk about this topic? How do I talk about adhering to traditions? I decided that, you know, there's really a way. When we get concerned about what can harm us, right, we're really talking about, I think, the last three traditions specifically. You know, those traditions that talk about how AA relates to the world outside of AA, right? 10, 11, and 12. But what if we talked about, for me, and this is where I kind of want to go today, how the internet could help us adhere to traditions. You know, how could we talk about that? And I decided that actually it can. And in fact, I think that we can really sort of, if we look at the first nine, two-thirds of the traditions, I think the internet can really help us adhere to traditions. And so I kind of want to play in that space today and explore that a little bit. I did for myself. I don't think I have all the answers. But I'd like to kind of talk about how the internet can help us adhere to traditions. So, you know, I don't even think it's good to think dually anymore at all, right? Hurt, harm versus help, right? I think it's both. You know, I think we need to kind of look at it's yes and. So we're going to talk about the yes and part for me today. I think it's a given that we should use the internet. I really do. And I really do want to move the conversation to not should we do it, but, well, okay. What do we do? How do we do it? What's next? So let's look at the first three traditions. You know, how could the internet help us adhere to the first three? Could we use it to enhance our unity? Maybe. Could we do that with tradition one? You know, I think so. I think we could use it to help us stay connected to our group, to AA as a whole. We could use internet mail. We can use websites. I can tell you that I'm actually connected to these two guys. As a result of the internet. In fact, we used the internet to figure out that we all three were speaking on this platform before we ever got here. Because they didn't tell us, you know, but we were able to do that, to use the internet. And I think it's making for a better audience experience. I'm not sure, but I think so. We could certainly use it. Let's think about tradition two. You know, how could that help us adhere? How could the internet help us adhere to tradition too? Well, I think it could help us maybe get to a better informed group conscience. I mean, I can't tell you how often I arrive at group conscience. I don't really know what's going to happen when we get there. And we start talking about things, and we're kind of grinders in AA. Well, maybe you're not in your part of it. In my part of the country, we're grinders. And then I start getting impatient, you know, and I'm just ready to go. And I think that doesn't make for a well-informed group conscience. But when I can review what we're going to talk about ahead of time, when I can maybe get into the literature on AA.org and study it, maybe I can have a more informed group conscience. And maybe we should be using the internet that way to develop a more informed group conscience. And hey, you know what? We could even use the internet to get a better sense of the fellowship as a whole. I don't know about you guys, but I still get so, it feels so random to me when they survey the groups. I don't know if any of you have ever got that. We had that in my district where one of our groups got the survey, and we were like, oh, not that group. You know, what are the, you know, and you know, I would have liked to have balanced it a little bit more, right? And there's ways we could do that, you know? And that might be a better informed group conscience if we surveyed all the groups. So I think we could do that. I think we should. And what about tradition three? Could we, you know, how could we use the internet to adhere to tradition three? This one's kind of near and dear to me, I'll tell you, because in my area, we have had a lot. I would tell you we do not have substantial unanimity around singleness of purpose. And so we've been trying to talk about that a lot. You know, what are the membership requirements? There's a lot of miscommunication. There's a lot of hurt feelings. In fact, we did a workshop on this, and my stomach hurt half the time while we were trying to talk through this, just as my local area. But I feel like maybe we could use the internet to help us talk about how do we talk about Tradition 3? You know, how do we make AA accessible to many people? You know, how do we talk about those things we don't talk about, like drugs and alcohol and other things? How do we make AA more inclusive? I think we could use the internet to do that. I think that would help us talk about these hard things and adhere to Tradition 3 even more than we do today. We could hear from people of all different perspectives. We could use new media, right? I'll tell you what, I was on the MARTA on the way out here, and I was sitting next to people who spoke primarily French from Canada. And it was killing me because I wanted to ask them about their group and I wanted to learn more about, you know, Vancouver in 10 years and things like that. And we had a hard time communicating. But if we had translated videos, I could hear the stories of people from all over the world better. And I want that. I want to hear the international experience better. So that's the first three traditions. So then let's talk about, so traditions, and we're chunking it Lois's way, I don't know, you know, but 4 through 9 are more about how sort of the group interacts with other groups in AA as a whole, right? So how could we use the internet to adhere to those traditions better? I think there are some ways to do that. Tradition 4, you know, that's one that Josh talked a little bit about. You know, it's, you know, each group is autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. You know, and I think when we start putting up AA websites, you know, and people are trying to find us, we are affecting AA as a whole. In the Traditions Illustrated, they give example of the one guy who's really loud and he's disrupting the group. And so they kind of ask him to, you know, come back when he's sober. You know, well, websites can look like that too, you know. And they can be the only version of AA or the first version of AA that someone encounters, you know. And so I'm wondering, you know, how could we adhere better to Tradition 4 using the internet? I mean, it might mean that we could develop a certain presentation convention. I'm not trying to be an authority. I'm just suggesting for ease of use and maybe some consistency, we could work on that, you know. Maybe there's a convention for our websites, a conventional way to describe things, a conventional way to present a meeting search. You know, we could think about doing that. You know, I do know there's this thing in the work I do. It's called confirmation bias. And when confirmation bias is like when a scientist is running an experiment and he gets these results that makes sense to him because they align with what he expected anyway. Well, as I was, you know, as I was talking to Josh before this talk, I realized that when I first worked on our area's website and our intergroup's website, I had my own version of confirmation bias. You know why? Because I understood what an intergroup was. And I understood what an area was. And so when I worked to design those websites, my confirmation bias that I completely didn't think about got in the way. And I designed those websites such that, okay, the area website's for doing service. We don't put links to meetings. We just do service here. Okay, and the intergroup website is for meetings. You find meetings on the intergroup, but you don't connect to the area. Well, I knew that because I had been in AA for a long time, but I don't think the newcomer knows that. I don't think the newcomer knows that at all. And if they happen to end up at Eastern Area of Missouri website and they can't find a meeting, you know, that could be a problem. So I think we should use the internet to adhere to that tradition, and I think there's some things we could do better. Tradition 5 is a no-brainer, right? It says, you know, the responsibility statement says, when anyone anywhere reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA to always be there. So to me, we have to use the internet to adhere to that tradition because there are plenty of us on the internet. I mean, that is a given, right? I mean, certainly how we do that is open for discussion, but that's the interesting stuff. That's what gets me so exciting. You know, I'm 26 years sober and I am interested in AA these days. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we're trying to figure out. It's interesting, you know, and it's a lot of dialogue and there's not a pat answer. It's gray. It's gray. And I love that. I mean, my whole recovery has been about from going to be very black and white. I mean, I was Lois, the bringer of truth and justice. I mean, my way was the way, you know, to this gray area where I'm not sure, but that today to me is the spiritual growth. It's the spiritual work I get to do is sort of talking through that. So I'm excited to see this. Now, Tradition 6 is kind of interesting. I think we were so worried when I first was working on AA properties about affiliation that we ensured that we in no way, even as a real AA entity, identified ourselves as Alcoholics Anonymous, because there was one Alcoholics Anonymous. That was AA, and we weren't that. So our inner groups, our area websites, our group websites, we didn't say Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, because we were trying to not displace GSO. But you know what? I think we've caused ourselves a problem, because there are other people who are affiliating and they're not even AA at all. Right? So, you know, if you do a search today, just like Josh had us do, you know, we often find people that are affiliating with us that aren't AA. So I'm kind of curious about how we could flip that around, right? How could we use the internet to make sure that we all look like the AA entities that we are, and that we are, you know, coming and showing up as affiliated with each other, because we are all part of the organization. I don't have the answers to that. I think it's a tricky one. But I think part of the problem was we were so concerned about not representing ourselves as the sole Alcoholics Anonymous that we've maybe deluded ourselves too much. Well, and what about Tradition 7? I like this one because, you know, can we be self-supporting through our own contributions on the internet? You know, what does that mean? I think it means, you know, first, I think it means we have to fund the digital tools that we need to the extent that we need them. You know, there's, you know, whenever Bill talks about self-supporting, we're talking about resources and money, right? And we need both. We need resources and we need money. You know, and we deciding what is essential, again, essential versus non-essential, that's a little grayer. Again, the gray is interesting. You know, but I believe today, you know, that having a presence on the internet is vital, and I think we need to pay well for special services. I think we do. I mean, a lot of us get, so it's funny because I'm a free kind of girl. So give me the free Google, give me the free apps, give me all the free. You know, I think in AA though, we might want to think about, well, you know, you get what you pay for. And we may need to look at being self, you know, adhering to this tradition on the internet means we have to pay for some things. You know, we do. And some of them are expensive. So I think we need to think about that. We need to have budgets for that. You know, we need to plan for that. You know, we can and should pay our own way is what I think we need to do if we're going to adhere to that tradition on the internet. Oh, here's another one of my favorites. So, Tradition 8, you know, AA, of course, we're not professionals, you know, we don't have professional class or sponsorship, but we definitely have special workers, right? And a lot of those special workers that actually we need on the internet are in their basements, not talking to anyone. They're not at our district meetings, I can tell you that. But what that also means is that there's a whole class of servants out there that could do some skills-based volunteering that haven't been doing it up to this point, you know? And you might know them, and this might be a way that they could serve, right? I agree with Keith. I thought it was interesting, Keith's point, like, well, you know, even if we're not good at talking, we should probably practice talking to each other. But hey, if you were like, yeah, none of that service, none of that politics, I don't want to do any of that, but I can code the hell out of an app, well, we might be able to bring those people into service too, you know, and I think we should consider it. You know, I definitely think that, you know, connecting, that we can't completely rely on volunteers, you know. I think if we're going to adhere to this tradition on the internet, we're going to have to look for some special skills. I mean, it's similar to archives. There are certain skills that we need, and as we come to rely on the internet to deliver our services more, we need some special skills. We do, and we need mine. We need the communication skills. We need the people who can talk about the work, and we need the people who can do the work. You know, and so I think in order for us to adhere to this tradition, that's what we need to do. We need to really start reaching out to people that can help us, that can advise us. I will tell you, for me, what's happened since I attended the National AA Technology Workshop and I found my tribe within a tribe, I have found a way to communicate outside of my district and my area and even my region. For me, I'd never been really outside of my region. I'm in the Southwest region. And when I started to talk to people in San Francisco and in, you know, Colorado and North Carolina, and I could ask a group of technologists simple questions and get five learned answers, you know, honestly, it was useful to me. Man, this might be heresy, but it was almost better than calling GSO in some ways, because I got a bunch of individual opinions. It was almost like querying the grapevine. You know, I got a bunch of individual responses, and I found that very useful. You know, they weren't an authority, but they were telling me their own experience. Simple things, like one question I said was, hey, has anybody done anything with digital payments? Because I get so tired of getting the checks from my treasurer, and then I have to go to the bank, and I kind of wanted her to, like, digitally pay me, you know, like auto-pay me. And so I put that question out to a community of technologists, and I got five different answers back, you know, and I got, well, you know, PayPal charges a fee, which I didn't know, and, well, you might want to do this, and three people were like, hey, Lewis, have you tried yourself to do a mobile deposit? No, I hadn't, but I do now, you know, and so just, like, simple things like that, right? These special workers that I've been able to connect with have helped me, you know, source quick answers to AA questions. You know, now I'd like to see this honestly. It's funny that Tradition 9 says AA as such ought never be organized. And when they say as such, the as such part is really like our 12-step work, right? We're not gonna mechanize how we assign a sponsor by like running a personality test on you, you know. But there are some things I would like to do, and honestly, this ability I've had to ask a technology question, sometimes I wish we had like a sponsor panel that I could remand like a ninth step question to. Cause I do sort of have that, you know, I mean, sometimes I get hard amend questions. I mean, they're not easy. Okay, I got the 2-minute warning. That was good, Jasmine. And you know, good, and I have one more tradition to talk about. So tradition 9 is AA ought never be organized, right? But here I really do think we need to differentiate between spiritual simplicity and functional simplicity, right? We definitely can use the internet to organize with each other, and we absolutely should. I mean, we should use it to do service work. We have a application in my area that allows us to do bridging the gap. It allows people to submit a request when they're coming out of treatment, connects them with the zip code, connects with people in their area. Before, we used to do this by mail, okay? And we were never there on time. Or when we tried an 800 number for a while, but the guy whose 800 number it was, he decided not to keep that up, right? So there's things that we absolutely, you know, should organize. Service work, we should organize it. I love, you know, I'm sharing all these Google Docs. Of course, all my people go, hey, the link doesn't work, but I'm trying. I'm out there doing it. You know, so my own experience is that kind of organization to do service work enables me to do more service work. It enables me to fulfill my primary purpose when I can use the internet to do that kind of work. I can find things quicker. And what happens with that is the work becomes more generative. We don't spend so much time going to look for the things that we used to know about and read the facts that we know. Because we can get that stuff right away. We now spend more time creating innovation, right, which I'm excited about. So I'm going to close. You know, I'm not going to deal with to me, the last three traditions are kind of no-brainers. They are the don'ts, not the do's. You know, and I'm sure you've talked about them in the area. They're really, you know, how do we relate to the public as an organization, right? It's pretty clear. We don't affiliate. We don't express opinions on outside issues. We don't break our anonymity at the public level. And we don't seek personal publicity. I think for me, that's a key. I don't seek personal publicity because I'm kind of like Bill. You know, but those are easy. I'm much more interested in what we do. I'm much more interested in how we can use the internet to adhere to traditions. I think we should. I have a lot of hope for it. I have a lot of enthusiasm for AA now that we're starting to explore that. And I have a lot of hope for us in general. Thanks.
Thank you, Lois. And can we get one more round of applause for all of our speakers?